From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all his fullness.
We welcome you to this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. On today's program, Dr. Cairns will continue a series on the lives and ministries of the Apostles of Christ. We hope you will find the messages to be encouraging and helpful as you see how God can use ordinary people in the work of His kingdom. Before we hear from Dr. Cairns, we invite you to enjoy a brief devotional thought from C.H. Spurgeon's collection called Morning and Evening, followed by some Christ-honoring sacred music.
This morning's text comes from Jeremiah chapter 31 and verse 3. With loving kindness have I drawn thee. The thunders of the law and the terrors of judgment are all used to bring us to Christ, but the final victory is effected by loving kindness. The prodigal set out to his father's house from a sense of need, but his father saw him a great way off and ran to meet him, so that the last steps he took towards his father's house were with the kiss still warm upon his cheek and the welcome still musical in his ears. Law and terrors do but harden all the while they work alone, but a sense of blood-bought pardon will dissolve a heart of stone. The master came one night to the door and knocked with the iron hand of the law. The door shook and trembled upon its hinges, but the man piled every piece of furniture which he could find against the door, for he said, "I will not admit the man." The master turned away, but by and by he came back, and with his own soft hand, using most that part where the nail had penetrated, he knocked again, oh, so softly and tenderly. This time the door did not shake, but strange to say, it opened, and there upon his knees the once unwilling host was found, rejoicing to receive his guest. "Come in, come in, thou hast so knocked that my heart is moved for thee. I could not think of thy pierced hand leaving its blood mark on my door, and of thy going away houseless. Thy head filled with dew, and thy locks with the drops of night, I yield, thy love has won my heart." So in every case, loving kindness wins the day. What Moses with the tablets of stone could never do, Christ does with his pierced hand. Such is the doctrine of effectual calling. Do I understand it experimentally? Can I say, "He drew me, and I followed on, glad to confess the voice divine"? If so, may he continue to draw me, till at last I shall sit down at the marriage supper of the Lamb.
Sing it with the saints in
On the night before the Lord Jesus Christ was crucified, he instituted an ordinance by which his people were to remember him until his second coming. Known as the Lord's Supper, or Communion, this simple yet profound ceremony pictures Christ's broken body and shed blood through the common elements of bread and wine. Through the centuries, this observance has been a precious and solemn time for the Lord's people. Yet it has also been a subject of much abuse by those who come to this table of the Lord. At the extreme, a person's attitude toward it was a matter of life and death. During the time of the Reformation, many people were burned at the stake for refusing to accept the insistence of the Roman Catholic Church that the elements of communion literally became Christ's flesh and blood. Some groups see the elements as mere symbols, while others find in the Lord's table a much deeper significance. Dr. Alan Cairns recently wrote a short book in which he deals with the Lord's Supper from the scriptural teaching on the subject. Simply titled, The Lord's Supper, the book is subtitled, An Earthly Encounter with the Heavenly Christ. Its aim is to stir the hearts of believers to enter into the joyful fellowship our Savior holds out to us as we eat this bread and drink this cup in remembrance of him. Let the Bible Speak has obtained a limited number of copies of this publication, which are available to our listeners. The price for each copy of the Lord's Supper is $8, which includes shipping and handling. You may have a copy by sending your check for $8 made out to Let the Bible Speak. Send it to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Be sure to request your copy of the Lord's Supper today. Today on Let the Bible Speak, Dr. Alan Cairns continues a series of studies in the lives of the apostles of the Lord Jesus Christ. In the course of these messages, he's presenting a biographical sketch of each apostle, examining each man's background, his character, and the particular way in which the Lord used him to fill the role which God had for him. Having first looked at Peter, Dr. Cairns is now dealing with Peter's brother, Andrew. Although scripture references to Andrew are relatively few, there is enough to reveal a man who was saved. Apparently, Andrew had been following the ministry of John the Baptist, and he heard John's exclamation, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Leaving all else behind, Andrew gave his heart and life to Christ, for on that day his life really began. From then on, Andrew lived to see others saved, and the first person he brought to Christ was his own brother, Peter. Now here is Dr. Cairns with the next portion of a message entitled, Andrew, Saint and Soul Winner.
I don't believe in any salvation that does not make Christ the King of your life. I don't believe that there's any faith where there's no genuine repentance. And I don't believe there's any repentance where Jesus Christ is not acknowledged as Lord. We are not perfect even in our acknowledgement of Christ. We are not perfect in our following of Christ. But there's one thing that you'll find in the heart of every man who has saving faith in Christ. Though he doesn't know what all is involved, he wants Christ as his Lord, as his Master, as his King, as his leader. He wants Christ to be in control. He left all to follow Christ, and he learned in deep personal fellowship with Christ. You and I cannot go to the Mount of Olives and sit there at the feet of Jesus. But we can go far higher, and we can go to a far better place. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, and there we can meet with the Savior. There's a lot to be said for Christian education. There's a lot to be said for teaching in school and in church. But I want to tell you, if the only teaching you ever get, if the only learning you ever obtain is out of a book or out of somebody else's mouth, you're yet a fool. You've learned nothing. There's an awful lot of educated idiots running around. We have them in the pulpit. All they know of Christ, they've read in a book. But getting alone with the Lord, having that time of personal fellowship with Christ, wherein he opens the book, he opens the heart. And you know, he's the only one can do both of those and synchronize the two activities. My, what a joy when he opens the book and he opens the heart and he brings the truth of the book right into the heart. That's real education. Nothing else matters beside it. There's nothing can take its place. That's the kind of education that Andrew had. That's what fitted him for the service of the Savior. That's what made him a man of God. That time of learning in the presence and in the fellowship of Jesus Christ. Man, if you're a Christian tonight, I trust that you'll learn this from Andrew and indeed from all the disciples of Jesus Christ, that your education has only begun. I remember when I was leaving high school, the principal of the school lined up all the characters who were leaving. No, he didn't have any particularly big smile on his face to get rid of me, but he lined us all up and come up and shook hands with us all and gave us a little word of advice for the life that was ahead of us. Some people were going to college, some were going into business, some were going I don't know where. Well, what he had to say was, as he shook hands, don't think you've got educated. We have only brought you to the place where you can begin to be educated. And he was right. When I finished studies in the Theological Hall of the Free Church and was ordained to the ministry and let loose to look after a church, of course, I'd been doing that ever since I was a student of 3 months, but again, I recognized you've not been educated. You've just been brought to the place where the Lord can begin to educate you. And the real education takes place when you get alone with God. And when God starts taking a dealing with your heart. The old Scottish Presbyterians, the Bonner brothers, Aunt McSheehan, and the others of that group of mighty men of God. That was a high water mark in Scottish Presbyterianism. What nation has ever been blessed with so many great preachers and great men of God at one time? But when they met each other, they would shake hands and they would say, "Brother What new thing has the Lord taught you today? These men were brilliant in the Greek and in the Hebrew. They were expert in theology. They were brilliant in moral philosophy. They were students who would be carrying, if they had had a GPA over there, every one of them would have been carrying a straight 4 out of 4. But that wasn't their conversation. What new thing has the Lord taught you today? That's how Andrew grew in grace, and that's how we'll grow in grace. And then he was equipped to serve. He was saved, he grew in grace, and he was equipped to serve. He knew Christ as the Lamb, and then as the living one, alive from the dead, but he knew if he were ever to preach him, he needed the anointing and the gift of the Holy Ghost, and that's why the last reference to Andrew is his waiting in Acts chapter 1 for the gift that Christ had promised in verses 4 and 5 of that chapter. And that leads me to the second and the main thing that we have got to say about Andrew. He not only was a saved man, but secondly, Andrew lived to see others saved. There's one beautiful thing about this man that you may remark in the few references you have to him in the Bible. Let me sum them up and then say a little word in each one of them. In John chapter 1, he brought his brother to Jesus. In John chapter 6, he found a little lad with a few barley loaves and a few fishes, and he brought the boy to Jesus. In John chapter 12, there are Greeks who are coming up to the feast, and they're saying, we would see Jesus. Philip brings them to Andrew, and Andrew brings them to Jesus. There's a pattern there. This is not accidental. This is the greatest characteristic of the life of this man. He is noted as the soul winner. He is noted as the man who at every step and turn is bringing others to Jesus. That's why I say Andrew deserves more than to be thought of merely as Simon Peter's brother. Oh, if there's one thing that I would have God be able to write over your life and mine, is that if we live 30 years, 50 years, or 80 years, that God will be able to say, that man, that woman was always bringing men, women, and children to Jesus. What a testimony. What an occupation. What a wonderful biography. When God, the Holy Spirit, can note this, this is a winner of souls. You know, that's fallen out of popularity nowadays. The big thing now is not to bring men to Christ. The big thing is to get yourself bogged down in theological discussion. Now, I'm all for theological discussion. I'm all for biblical learning. I'm all for giving the strongest emphasis that the Bible allows on the great doctrines of grace. But I want to tell you, when doctrine becomes an end in itself, you've lost your way. When you get your focus on the ism instead of on the Christ, you've lost your way. What good would it do a man if I make him a Presbyterian? He can still burn in hell. What good if I make a man a Calvinist? He can still perish. But oh, if I can bring him to Jesus, he'll never perish. Oh, that we would get this. Too often in the church, it seems that you've either got to be orthodox or on fire for an evangelism. And I don't really see why it should be either or. The great evangelists of the past were men who were both orthodox and on fire. Jonathan Edwards didn't lose any of his orthodoxy. He didn't throw his theology out the window. When he set about the task of bringing men and women to Christ. And neither ought we. Andrew first finds his own brother, and he brought him to Jesus. Andrew had shared many things with Simon. How could he not share this? So he sought him until he found him. And then he brought him to Jesus. When God saves you, remember, he doesn't break your family ties. We have brethren in the flesh. We have people brought up in the same home. And too often, we just clear our minds of them and we go on our way while they are within a heartbeat of hell. When I was exercised of the Lord to come to this country, it was one thing that was looming very largely in my mind. And in the years that followed my coming to America, it continued to loom very large. Lord, I'm here trying to win other people's brothers and sisters to Christ. But who is reaching mine? That's something I had to recognize as a problem, and the Lord had to give some peace of heart. Because while it's wonderful to go where the Lord would have you go, remember the old saying, charity begins at home. No, true religion begins at home. I say that simply to tell you that even when you're far from your family, you can't give up the burden of your loved ones. You can't do it. He first finds his own brother. If I have to stand over the grave of a brother or a sister of mine and see their body go into Mother Earth with the awful realization that their soul has already sunk into hell. What a tragedy. What a heartbreak. He found his brother and he brought him to Jesus. You and I can lose our brothers and we can lose our sisters because we disagree with them politically, or because we like different things, or because we have a different philosophy, or all these crazy things that the devil will bring in. Men and women, let's concentrate on being Christians to them, loving our brethren and sisters after the flesh, loving them with the love of Christ. I'm telling them the certainty of what we know. I have found the Savior. Come and find him too. He brought his brother to Christ.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.